नमस्कार दोस्तों, अनदर एडिशन ऑफ योर फेवरेट देसी पॉडकास्ट आपके सामने पेश है। कुछ बातें यहाँ की, कुछ बातें वहाँ की।
वेलकम टू द शैबी एंड मैन पॉडकास्ट। वी आर पार्टनर्स, पेरेंट्स, पॉडकास्टर्स, ब्रॉडकास्टर्स
एंड एवरीथिंग एल्स इन बिटवीन। नाउ वी आर रिकॉर्डिंग दिस व्हेन इट्स ईद, सो ईद मुबारक टू एवरीवन।
ईद मुबारक टू एवरीवन हु इज listening to the podcast right now, and if you're celebrating the festival, we hope you've had a beautiful day celebrating, or if you're looking forward to celebrating it tomorrow, because it is a day later in the Indian subcontinent. In the UK, we're celebrating today.
And there's so many festivals that have happened in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
Holi, Easter, well, you know, and that's why we're going to talk about food, because Holi for me is Gujia and Bhang. Easter is what? Roast lamb with mint sauce.
Yeah.
And of course, Eid is Sawaiya, Biryani, Shahi Tukra, all my faves.
Yes. So we thought we'll talk about food this time around, because it is a subject very close to our hearts. And like you pointed out, festival is always a good bahana for people to rustle up a feast on the table.
Just before we start, I wanted to just mention the fact that you were invited a couple of days ago to an iftari where a lot of prominent politicians were hanging around. I saw it in all over, you know, I saw it in the news and the papers.
That's right.
And you couldn't go because? It's a crazy reason why. Because you had to cut a ribbon. You had to open a shop.
Oh yeah, that's right. Work came in the way of work again. But yeah, it looked like a rather exciting iftari do. And God knows there's one in Bollywood that I keep talking about every year, which is Baba Siddiqui's iftari party that everybody knows.
The one where Salman Khan and Shah Rukh Khan patched up the differences.
Yeah. So iftari is an occasion for family and friends to gather around, but also for people to indulge themselves and really have some yummy food.
The iftari food for me is what? Soups, kebabs, biryanis, salads,
yeah,
pastries.
Ruh Afza. I believe Ruh Afza is an integral part of the iftari table.
We'll talk about Ruh Afza in a bit.
Yes, okay. So I suppose even with festivals like Poila Boishakh and Vaisakhi and things like that, what comes to your mind when you think of festive food? I know you'd probably say, you know, roast turkey or chicken at Christmas time.
Listen, I'm Punjabi.
Yes.
Okay? Every day is festive.
Oh my God.
Have you ever been to Punjabi wedding?
Yeah.
You know, actually, forget Punjabi weddings. Every evening, we Punjabis like to eat good food. When I say good food, I mean rich food.
Yes. You know? Yeah, which is not good for you
which
at all.
Not good for you,
but it's very tasty.
And accompanied with a peg or two.
Hmm.
I think Black Label seems to be the standard Punjabi drink, but I could be wrong.
Yes.
Now that I'm on Instagram, just DM us. Is it the word correct word, DM?
Yes. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I think I'm only discovering now that Poila Boishakh and, you know, everybody knows that seasonal dishes are celebrated in every culture. And yet there are certain dishes, there are certain preparations of fish, certain ways in which vegetables are cooked in Bengal, you know, which are prevalent now in these months. And it's meant to be good for you. It's meant to be a celebration. It's meant to mark the changing of the season, warmer days. It's meant to keep you cool. For instance, you know, Eid May, by the way, एक बहुत बड़ा ट्रेडिशन है रूह अफ़ज़ा पीने का, एंड हाउ इम्पोर्टेंट दैट इज आई ओनली डिस्कवर्ड नाउ थ्रू इंस्टाग्राम व्हेन यू सी एवरीबडी वर्चुअली एवरीबडी इंक्लूड रूह अफ़ज़ा इन देयर इफ्तारी मील, वेदर इट इज विद पानी, वेदर इट इज विद दूध, वेदर इट इज एज अ कुल्फी, रूह अफ़ज़ा फेवरेट फ्लेवर।
आई हैव ग्रोन अप विद रूह अफ़ज़ा, आई डोंट नो वेदर रूह अफ़ज़ा इज इंडियन और पाकिस्तानी।
इट इज, आई थिंक इट वाज स्टार्टेड बाय अ पाकिस्तानी जेंटलमैन इन ऑब्वियसली अनडिवाइडेड इंडिया, एंड देयरफॉर इट इज इंडियन. But I believe the two brothers, kind of one of them decided to go to Pakistan, the other decided to live on in Delhi, and they both have this factory called Hamdard, and both of them have kind of flourished in either on either side of the border, which is quite
through Abzapia. Haan,
so there you go. So Poila Boishakh ke liye bhi kafi dishes banate hain.
There's like dichotomy here for me that most of these festivals you're mentioning, you're saying fish, you're saying kebabs and all, but most Indian festivals, I think they go vegetarian, don't they?
I think North India so much, not so much Bengal. You're right. Durga Puja ka bhog jo hai, milta hai, but that's always vegetarian. You're absolutely right. It's a special khichdi, and you get a sabzi, and you get a chutney, and you get a sweet. So predominantly, I think festive food, Bhagwan ka food, prashad, is virtually 99.9 times is vegetarian. But we know that Kali Puja you know, they a goat is sacrificed, and therefore that becomes a goat curry or a, you know,
in Kali Puja,
mutton curry. Huh?
I thought Kali Puja, but you guys have fish.
No, no, not fish. It's always mutton.
Oh.
Always mutton, which is part of Kali Puja Prashad, you know. So I remember, because you are Punjabi, I'm Bengali, we've spoken about this as well, that every Diwali we would take a call on, you know, whether we wanted to include a non-vegetarian dish at the Diwali table or not, depending on whether we were celebrating it the Punjabi way or the Bengali way, whether it was Kali Puja or Durga Puja. For those who don't know, Kali Puja is normally one day before Diwali, Choti Diwali pe.
Where you're praying to Ma Kali.
Yes. Let's talk about Christmas. I knew very little about Christmas festivities other than, you know, rum balls and Christmas cake and Christmas and the other stuff that you get in the shops in Delhi.
Yeah, which has nothing to do with Christmas in this country.
Nothing to do with Christmas in this country.
In this country, you go to someone and say, listen, I like some rum balls, please.
Yes, because it's Christmas.
They might give you a strange look.
Yes. So, you are big on Christmas dinner because you are the one who, that's the one day we see you in the kitchen more often than not.
Yeah. Nowadays, we've changed a bit. We're not so particular. We're not sticklers for turkey anymore.
Yeah.
Quite happy with chicken.
Yeah.
Or lamb. Mm. Lamb is a very... spring lamb is a very Easter thing.
Mm, that's what you tell me, right? That
Roast lamb with mint sauce, smacks of Easter.
Mm. Leg of lamb, rack of lamb. So, Christmas again.
Yep, sorry. I digress.
Coming back to Christmas and food.
Yeah.
What do you normally expect to see at your Christmas table? I know we've perfected our Christmas dinner, and it's something that we can...
Well, I'll explain to you. It's the main dish, and then the surrounding dishes
the
around
trimmings.
It called the trimmings.
Yes.
The parsley.
The carrots.
The carrots.
The red cabbage.
The red.
The
you
sprouts.
Know it all.
Yeah.
And the Brussels sprouts.
The sprouts. The parsnips.
Did I say parsley? I meant parsnips.
Yeah, parsnips.
Obviously.
What about Yorkshire pudding? That's the only time of year we have Yorkshire pudding, or indeed stuffing, right?
Yeah. You're right. Stuffing and Yorkshire pudding. Stuffing.
Although you tell me that
stuffing balls around the side and a bit of stuffing inside the chicken or turkey.
Yeah. And you say, and Yorkshire pudding, of course. But you tell me that Yorkshire pudding and stuffing is also served at Sunday roast up and down the country in pubs.
Yes, they are.
But I think I associate it only with Christmas because
have
I don't think we've ever had it
a
any
Sunday
other.
Roast?
We must have had a Sunday roast. But I don't think I've had a traditional Sunday roast in a pub. I've gone to a pub on a Sunday and probably chosen to have fish and chips or something else. But Yorkshire pudding and stuffing is something I associate only with Christmas because I don't think as a family at home we've ever made them at other times.
It's just that Yorkshire pudding and Brussels sprouts suddenly seem to be everywhere at Christmas time.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're available throughout the year as well. Yorkshire puddings definitely are.
Yeah.
And most people make their own.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I remember one of the big chefs here, either Jamie Oliver or Gordon Ramsay or someone giving out a really simple, it's two or three ingredients, like flour and egg.
Yeah. And in the oven.
In the oven, But there is a secret ingredient. I can't remember whether it was cinnamon powder or they did say something that you do not associate with the taste of Yorkshire pudding. There's something that goes into it which just gives it that extra oomph, you know. I think it was Jamie Oliver who made it. So, it's surprising that we've never made it at other times. What else? When it comes to food, you know, I've mentioned this in the podcast before as well. I can't say professional aspirations, but I do have a dream. I used to write about food a lot in my posts. I used to conduct food talks and
cook a lot.
I cook a lot. I used to do guided food walks across East London.
There was
in collaboration with a Belgian friend of mine.
And let's not forget the main big story that you nearly had a cookbook out.
Yes. So
it's still there somewhere, isn't it?
Still there somewhere. But I would like to work with, I don't know, I fancy working in a small cafe or a small bakery or, you know, I'm not in one of those big chains where you have to slave away in the kitchen for hours, but something a bit more artisan and a bit more small and personal. Maybe a family run, I don't know, tea shop or
I think you're mistaken there. I think in the small family run ones you have to slave much more.
I know, but it's all about, you know, every dish doesn't have to look the same. Your menu could change every single day depending on what you brought from the market in the morning. Those are the quirks that I really like. And
you need a Sunday stall.
I need a Sunday stall. I could be rolling out, I dream of rolling out chana puri or puri halwa or you, like, you know, one dish and one, because people are willing to pay extortionist prices in central London to have something that we cook at home every single day. It is a dream of mine. I know it's a lot of hard work, but I'm not scared of the hard work, but I just want to find the right setup and the right set of people to work with and learn from.
Defending those people who are charging
extortionist prices.
Yeah, they have to pay extortionate prices to put up their stalls in those.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Well. Fair enough. No, I'm also saying that you're not going to be able to sell out your food unless the food is good. If people are paying you that much to eat what you're making, clearly you're making a, you know, good dish, right? A tasty dish. My problem lies with sometimes people passing off certain things as being absolutely authentic, and British Asians not knowing any better and lapping it up. But it is the way it is. I suppose that is how food fusion happens. And there are actually, London is
we have our own hotspot. I mean, unfortunately, you and me live away from these places.
Yeah.
It's quite a trek for us. But if you go to certain pockets in London,
yeah,
if you go to the Wembleys, South Harrow's,
yeah,
Wembley's and Harrow's, you've got Gujarati food.
Hmm.
You go to the, as you said, the, what do you say?
South Hall.
South Hall and Hounsman, all you've got the Punjabi food.
Yeah.
So there are little pockets.
Yeah.
If you go to Tooting and all, you've got the South Indian.
Pakistani.
You've got the Sri Lankan food.
Yeah.
Hoppers and all.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed bag here. You have to know where to go.
Yeah.
If you want something really authentic and not extortionate prices in central London.
Hmm. But also, I mean, the street food revolution, London must have been at the forefront of that as well. I know what is the equivalent of food trucks in America. And
market stalls.
Market stalls that sprung up about 15, 20 years ago.
And Curb was so trendy. The first big one. Curb, yeah, did one in Camden Town. It did one in the South Bank Centre.
Yeah.
Then it's got one in Seven Dials in Covent Garden.
Yeah. It became massive hits. And people were essentially selling, like I said, what we have at home every single day, whether it was chana puri or whether it was, you know, a wrap. Or
why were you mentioning Covent Garden on your radio show yesterday?
In the context of my favorite gelato shop.
Oh.
Covent Garden has a shop which sells gelato, and I think it's the best gelato in London, to be honest.
Did you say Alia Bhatt has just moved there or something?
Alia Bhatt has she hasn't moved there. She's confessed in an interview a long time ago that it was her dream to buy a flat in London, and she has a home. Maybe a home, may not be a flat, maybe a house. She can afford it.
She's British Asian anyway.
Yes.
She was born here, wasn't she?
But she was. But coming back to food, I mentioned Covent Garden in the context of my favorite gelato shop, Badiani's. If you've been there, you've been there. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
It's a beautiful shop. There's hardly anyone ever there because I kind of discovered it once by mistake because I took a wrong turn.
If you want to have gelato, you need to go to Florence. बात खत्म.
Outside of Florence बोल दिया मैंने. अब वो तो ऐसी बात है कि अगर समोसा खाना है तो पंजाब जाओ, अगर कुलचा खाना है तो छोले खाना है तो अमृतसर जाओ. ऐसा तो नहीं हो सकता ना. यहाँ पे भी you have to be able to recreate some of that.
We were lucky enough once. Remember we had a Hyderabadi biryani
in Hyderabad.
In Hyderabad with mirchi ka salan.
Yeah, khubani ka meetha and mirchi ka salan.
We had a very touristy thing to do probably,
yes,
but it was amazing.
Yeah. But you've got to do it, right? It's a touristy thing, but these dishes become associated with certain places for a reason. And it's once in a while, it's fantastic to do the touristy thing.
What do you think people should sample
when they come to London? Fish and chips, sausage and mash?
No, I was just going to say, the English thing is, you go to Melton Mowbray, whatever it's called, to have pork pies. Melton Mowbray.
Mowbray is the place.
Thank you.
I think Melton is the name of the company, right? Mowbray pies.
You can tell I've not been.
Yes.
You can go to Cheddar to try some cheese.
Yep.
That's all I can think of.
Talk about the Earl of Sandwich.
And of course, you can go to Cornwall.
Yes, to have pasty. We talk about the Earl of Sandwich.
Yep, Sandwich is just here in Kent.
Hmm.
Not too far.
Hmm. But fish and chips.
It's a little seaside town.
You've got to have here and have bangers and mash, fish and chips, these kind of things.
I read somewhere years ago that people associate fish and chips with England, but it didn't come from England.
Mm.
Potatoes came from somewhere else, and they started eating fish and all somewhere in the Greek islands or somewhere first.
Mm.
But it's just become a very British thing.
Yeah, because it's something which I think the Brits do rather well. And it is, the weather here is such that, you know, it is a rather
fantastic
thing to
having have. Having chips from a chip shop
Yeah.
is something else.
Yeah.
I mean,
There's no way you can make it in the oven.
I know you like, you're through in that French fries kind of culture.
Yeah.
It's not the same for me.
Yeah, you're saying those the thick cut, greasy, sort of chips, unhealthy.
You just happen to get it with your burger, that's fine. Yeah. But my favorite is proper, proper thick cut chips.
Yeah.
With
salt and vinegar open.
Yeah, with mushy peas, which we've had this conversation before. You don't like mushy peas.
I don't like mushy peas.
And a pickled onion.
I don't see the charm of a pickled onion or a pickled gherkin. I don't mind pickled onion. I don't see the charm.
And a savloy. You know savloy?
It's a sausage, right?
Yeah, battered. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, it's probably a battered savloy and a normal savloy, which is like, it's like pink in color.
Mm. Well, far better than black
pudding. Don't know how unhealthy it is. Black pudding.
Yes.
Oh, that's
very misleading names.
That's another thing that Britain is, I think, famous for, is the full English, the breakfast.
Yeah.
And I used to, in my student days, we used to go to a trucker's cafe. Where you'd get the works. I mean, you'd get your beans, your chips, everything mixed.
Mm.
Your eggs, your bacon, your slices, plus two or three round discs of black pudding, which is basically, for those who don't know, is pig's blood.
Yeah.
Congealed pig's blood, probably.
Yeah, but does it have any, I mean, is it just for taste or does it have any properties? Is it meant to keep you warm or keep you going for the whole day, as you're saying it's a trucker's cafe or?
I don't know. It's just been around for so long.
Yeah.
And have you been to, another very traditional British thing is, have you ever, they're dying out now. Have you ever had a pine mash and jelly deals?
No.
Take you one day. You have to go to East London for that, really.
It doesn't sound like my kind of food at all. We've, again, spoken about this a lot each time we talk about food. I'm a Bengali, but I'm not too fond of fish myself. So jelly deals, I'll pass. Thank you.
And you go to the beach and you have cockles.
I think it's no. We go to the beach and have a toffee apple.
That's a fun fair, I think.
No, even on the beach.
Oh, really?
Even on the beach. I remember having my first toffee apple on in, oh my God, which place did I go to up north with our family friends?
Sunderland
Beach. You didn't even know where Sunderland had a beach.
I didn't even know where Sunderland was. I would have kept that quiet.
Oh, but please.
Anyway.
No, it was a really nice trip. It was a fun trip. And you went to Sunderland via Oxford, if you must know. Well, that's it. I think it's time for us to sample a few more dishes, some new dishes, and go and check out a few more food hubs in London before we do our next podcast on what to eat, where to eat.
I think we should, two things. I think we should do a spin-off podcast on food.
Yeah.
And maybe now, after 4.5 years of doing this podcast, maybe we should go a bit visual. You know, we only record.
Oh my God.
And that also, we only record on our phone.
Yes.
No editing.
Are you saying we should go on YouTube?
No,
I don't think so.
No professional setup.
Yes.
Full of mistakes.
Yep.
I think if we make them, we make them.
Yes.
It's live.
Yes.
When it's live, and then we push a button and it comes on.
So when you say we should go visual, but are you suggesting the YouTube route? I don't think so.
No?
It's far too much work to kind of doll up and then sit and talk.
No, I said if we do a food one. I feel it's much harder to talk about food unless people can see it.
No, but that's the power of your vocab. You should be able to evoke the sight, the sound, the aroma, the memory, the fragrance, every element of that dish that you're talking about.
Okay, so here's a thought for you. As we leave, I just say goodbye.
Hmm.
Think of the memory, the aroma of baked beans, gobi, cauliflower, cheese. Take a deep breath.
I think we should leave.
And say goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Meera.
Oh no.
Kyo?
It's a, you need more space. You need more space. So how do I switch it off then?
I don't know. I'm not doing this again.
So what do I do? It's not switching off.
I don't know, Daddy. It's your phone. Where the fuck have I been here?
I'm gonna cut it.
Am I still carrying on?
Yeah.
Switch off your phone. What else?
Well, that's probably it for another episode. So, as I like to just remind people, because as I told you, I'm new to, I've just discovered Instagram.
Yes.
So do DM us. Find us at Shabby and Man Podcast. You put up lots of little clips so you can actually see little videos. Which, by the way, we don't make videos very often.
Yes.
We never make them, do we?
No, we don't. I think we've made about 4 or 5, or if that.
Little clips we put up. So you can find us there. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, X.
Yeah. There are certain things that we discuss a lot. For instance, we've spoken about food many, many times over the last 3-4 years that we've been doing the podcast.
Food is never ending. Some people have food podcasts where every week they talk about food.
Yeah, but you also remind me that there are new people constantly joining the Shabby and Man family, new listeners who've not heard us talk about a lot of things that we've discussed in our lives, in the way that how we lived in 2 continents, how we're raising 2 boys, how it's been a mishmash of cultures and languages and cuisines.
Sorry, raising 2 boys or we've raised 2 boys? Khatam ho gayi baat.
Haan, khatam to nahi hui khair baat, lekin yeah, one of them is an adult and the other one behaves like one. So we've really put our lives out there on a platter for you to savor. Those who are only just joining the podcast, I seriously recommend you dip into the older episodes just to get a better understanding of who we are as partners, parents, podcasters, broadcasters,
and everything else.
Yes.
I don't know what that means. I just say it.
Because it sounds good?
Subconsciously, I just say it.
Well, there you go. Until it's time for us to say it all over again on the next episode, thank you for tuning in. Once again, Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak. Bye-bye.